Dear Thay, dear Sangha, much I'd like to say, so little time. Yesterday, I spoke with a friend of mine who's a Vietnam veteran, Big Red One Infantry, combat soldier. He's also about an inch taller than I am, my age, and still looks like the professional boxer he once was. In other words, not a faint spirit. He still referees boxing. He flies off to places like Las Vegas, even at my age, and he referees boxing. Tough guy. Never talks about Vietnam. Never, ever. He said to me this week, he said, I really wouldn't want to be a soldier today. Today's wars are so horrendous. And we thought that Vietnam War was an example of the horrendous war. We have escalated our capacity for violence and cruelty yet again. War and Peace is the headline news in all the news silos that people live in today. But little understanding is offered. Sometimes they'll bring up a talking head who has some real insight, and it's very helpful. But there's a lot of insight into War and Peace, and a great many traditions and from a great many places. Thay, of course, went through the Vietnam War. He has seen horrendous things. He was subject to assassination attempts by both sides. He was exiled by one side and then by both sides because he wouldn't take sides. He was always on the side of peace, justice, and kindness. All kinds of people have great insights. The Native Americans have insights, Thay has insights, other Dharma teachers like Tara Brach and Barbara Newell have insights. Ukrainian comedians like Robert Soplowski is not a Ukrainian comedian. He's actually a Stanford professor. Yakov Smirnov is a Ukrainian comedian, not the one who's currently premier of Ukraine. He's also a comedian, but he has other things to do right now. And so did the Buddha have a lot to say. Three key things about war and peace. We are habitually at war inside ourselves. There's a Native American story. It talks about two wolves that are fighting inside everyone. The war of light, the wolf of light, and the wolf of darkness. And I'm doing the short version of the story, but basically, the grandson asks the grandfather who's talking about this, Grandpa, which wolf wins? And Grandpa says, the one you feed. So by coming here tonight, you are feeding the wolf of light, kindness, justice, Tai says to make peace in the world, we have to make peace in ourselves. That war in the world is a reflection of the wars inside of us. There's another thing that Tai has said repeatedly, which is that he never speaks or acts when angry. In other words, if his dark wolf is hopping around a little bit, he just shuts up. Anger can be very good for catching our attention. It's not a good basis to speak or act from. It generates unskillful speech and unskillful actions, and it blocks compassion and creativity. The Vipassana teacher, Tara Brach, talks about radical self-acceptance as a peacemaking approach for us with us. Stop being at war with yourself by rejecting yourself, criticizing yourself, beating up on yourself. Don't be violent with yourself. At a recent retreat, Barbara Newell talked about the practice of self-compassion as the most profound practice. Be compassionate with yourself. Use internal right speech. I don't know how many people I've heard say, I would never talk to anybody else like I talk to myself. So some peacemaking tools for us, with us. The Stanford scientist Robert Soflosky just published a book. His life work has been on free will, and his research subjects have been humans and primates. His conclusion is that free will does not exist. That we are all conditioned genetically and socially to have a preset predisposition as to how we will react in any situation. That is, our genetics and our conditioning have set us up so that whatever happens, we have a preset response set. He says, all human behavior is beyond conscious control. Pretty radical statement. Yakov Smirnov, the Russian-Ukrainian comedian, the famous one before Zelensky became famous, had a famous routine where he said, Americans think they are free and Russians are not. You are no more free than Russians. You're mostly just led around by the advertising. Today, you might add, and by the media reports in your preferred news silo. I understand he currently has a show going in Branson, Missouri at the resort there. We could go check in and see if he's added that yet. It might shock you to realize that the Buddha said basically the same thing. You are not free. You are living based on reactivity, a preset way that you have been conditioned to behave. But the Buddha did offer us an out, which the cult of Yakov did not. Yakov Smirnov. I get my long names confused. He said, suffering is caused by our habit energies, and we won't be free until we practice diligently to be liberated from them, and only then do we have freedom. Only then do we have choice. we have to practice our way to choice. Otherwise, we're just run around by reactivity. In the actual translation of what we call the Four Noble Truths, which I'm constantly saying in here, the Buddha wouldn't know what you were talking about because he called them the four tasks. Suffering is to be comprehended. Oh, something I'm supposed to do? Not just something, go, yeah, I get that. And then he said, the cause of suffering is reactivity. In other words, our knee-jerk reactions to things. Like Pavlov's dog. You offer him food and ring a bell, and then you can just ring the bell and he'll salivate anyway. Just stimulus response. Except it's not stimulus response, it's stimulus react. Response is when you choose what you're going to do. So modern behavioralist psychologists say, well, there's a stimulus and there's the reaction, but they noticed something really strange, and that was, that didn't happen all the time. Sometimes people did something different. So they invented a little thing in the middle in their model that's got an O and it's a stimulus, and what they call organismic valuing response. In other words, think about it. And then choose your response. That some people manage to learn to do that. That's mindfulness. Mindfulness is know what's going on, and knowing what's going on, you can be aware, and you can choose a response rather than just reacting. So our version would be stimulus, mindfulness, response, as opposed to stimulus, reaction, or stimulus, valuing. Same thing. Modern psychology keeps rediscovering Buddhist psychology. So, those of you who know Thich Nhat Hanh, mindfulness is one of his favorite subjects. Probably I would say it is his favorite subject. He talks constantly about mindfulness. Because without mindfulness, without freedom, we don't have a choice. We are caught in suffering and are just reactive to things. Mindfulness lets us know what our habit energies are telling us to do. Thay said the Buddha talked more about habit energies, in other words, reactivity, than anything else. I don't know, but I trust that he knew what he was talking about. But mindfulness makes that space that lets us choose how to respond. And the Eightfold Path provides us with a plethora of practices we can do to develop our mindfulness and to move from reactivity, which causes suffering, to chosen response. As for war in the external world, Thay has said more than once, when the armies are lined up, it is already too late to stop this war. We have to go to work to stop the next one. Well, the armies are more than lined up, they're engaged. And not only the two big wars we know about, there are a lot of other little nasty wars going on in the world right now. Particularly in Africa, that I'm aware of, and also some in the Middle East. And he has said in the past about external wars, I am not practicing hard enough. Thay isn't practicing hard enough. He practices 24/7. He's a practice machine. I am not practicing hard enough. Well, if Thay wasn't practicing hard enough, I'll guarantee you there are a few other people who aren't, including us. Thay was making a point for himself and for all of us. We humans are not practicing hard enough. We are not practicing skillfully enough. We're too often even using spiritual practices to reinforce old fears, hatreds, and grievances. Sound like the basis of any wars going on that you know about out there in the world? We can get lost in the silo of misapplied spiritual practice. So we can see how some other people may be doing that, but as always, let's look at ourselves. Let's see, what are some of our favorite ways for doing that? One is to neglect practice. I'll get around to some spiritual reading. I'll get around to some more meditation. Or we can only practice those things that are convenient and comfortable and ignore things that are a little uncomfortable but might be way more profitable. We can even misuse our meditation. I have caught myself on many occasions using my ability to meditate to avoid what I really need to be doing. So our practice is a two-edged sword. Go read the sutra on catching a snake. The Buddha brought our attention to that very clearly in that sutra. And then we can say, well, before we can make peace in the world, we have to make peace in ourselves, so we don't have to join any marches or protests for peace. I'll just work on my internal peace. We can say, I don't need to feed labor and money into the campaigns of political candidates who are working for the white wolf. I can just work on my inner peace. We can overlook contemplating our mindfulness trainings between recitations. We know that that relationship with the mindfulness trainings is the best guide we have in life. Not realizing the trainings, but spending enough time with them that we develop a relationship. And when we have that relationship, they evolve and flow into the situations of our life. When we just realize them, they're not nearly as helpful and can even be hurtful. I could go on, but you probably all want to go home tonight. There are unlimited ways to not truly practice skillfully and diligently. We need to always be assessing our practice. You all know I have a little handout card for everything. I don't have it tonight, but sometime this month, you'll get the little card on how to assess your practice. Tonight, we'll put in the middle of the room, mindfulness. And we hadn't anticipated this big a crowd, so please don't push and shove trying to get your copy later. The bottom line is, if we want peace and not war, we need to ask ourselves some questions. How do I want to live? Do I want to live free and liberated, or do I want to live without choice, without freedom? Because if you do want to live with choice and freedom, the Buddha gave us the way to get there, the Eightfold Path. We got a stack of practices. Ask yourself the question, am I practicing skillfully what I need to be practicing, and practicing it well and skillfully? And I'm practicing diligently, not just when the mood strikes me. Am I practicing diligently? That's what Ty was saying about, I'm not practicing hard enough. Maybe there was some point of diligence that I didn't apply. In his case, I can't imagine what it was. Except that one of my favorite Thai quotes is, I love waking up in the morning. I always have a new insight. And I like that because it shows that if we continue to practice, we will continue to grow and evolve and have new insights. The most insightful person we know, the most enlightened person we know of, still is getting new insights from his diligent and skillful practice. And we too, if we do diligent and skillful practice. Give me a minute. Since Thay died, sometimes people ask me to tell them a story about Thay. And there is one that's applicable to us tonight. When we were in Vietnam, the first lay delegation that accompanied him, we were running all over temple hopping. And one night it was late. We hadn't even had lunch that day. We got back to the monastery late, and they'd saved us some soup and broth. And the big long dining hall tables are mostly empty. We were kind of spread out, eating our soup and bread, and that was so good. Oh, it was good to sit down. It was good to eat. And because I was exhausted and I was starved, I think I was eating very mindfully. Now, if you know Thay, you know he's a stealth machine. You don't know he's there. But I was just concentrating on his food. And I sensed a presence. I looked up, and there's Thay looking at me. He just looked at me and said, "Is it good?" I said, "Yes, Thay, it is about it. Yes, Thay, it is very good." He smiled, dipped his head, turned around, and went off, stealthily walking towards his room, where some assistant would have his food waiting. And that's the last time he ever spoke to me. But he was asking not just about the food. If you know Thay, he was also asking about the present moment. Is it good? Is it good being right here, right now, with this food, in this place, doing the things we're doing? And yes, Thay, it is good. The present moment is always good. The present moment is always good. And another famous Thay quote is, there are always plenty of conditions for happiness in the present moment. He can find the present moment and find moments of happiness in the middle of a war. So we're all in the middle of this war with ourselves. We can make peace with ourselves. We can practice radical self-acceptance. We can practice self-compassion. We can be in the moment now. And that's always good, because the present moment is all any of us ever really have. Thank you. So relax your legs. The sound of the next bell, we'll stand up and take a short stretch break. And somebody over near the door can bring in the tea and some teacups and put it in the middle of the room. And feel free to have some tea. This is just a trick to use it up so we don't have any extra, but if you'd like some tea, please feel free to serve yourself more tea. And then we'll stretch for just a minute and we'll sit back down for discussion.
Go.
Don't try to stand behind your person, that won't work. We get to enjoy bowing to each other and then.
Okay.
If you'd like, when the cups come in, and then. Stretch a little bit and sit back down when you're ready. And Terry will take over and lead our discussion.